Welcome into the Mean Streets podcast. Southern Conference champions 2024, regular season outright champions, conference tournament champions. The Bulldogs are going dancing. William Galloway alongside Britton Johnson here on the Mean Streets podcast. And I think this is the most excited I have been for a podcast episode. It's been about 24 hours and the dust has settled. The confetti has settled, I should say, but the emotions have not. Still very excited that the Bulldogs and Buckyball are headed into March Madness. Britton, good evening. Welcome to behind the mic with all the listeners. I've been talking to you for a while now, but man, take me through watching that championship game because it was special.
Yeah, just the culmination of a year of, or really 4 years, if you really think about it, of just work and building to this moment. And, you know, I was tweeting earlier about how I watched this team play pickup back in June and knew even then, you know, people can point, I guess if they had lost, I probably wouldn't have said that, right? But like, you saw the unselfishness, you saw the effort and little things, just little things like that along the way. And you could see this is a championship team. And obviously they've had to improve and work to get to where they are now, but you saw from the jump that this team was bought in to the right things. And it all came to a head last night, winning their first championship in 24 years. Bucky McMillan ascending to the throne of the SoCon, as we all knew he would eventually get to. But man, it's been really cool to see from our point of view, just as much as I expected it to happen, it actually happening in reality. And everything that's kind of come from it has been really, really cool for me, and I know for you as well.
Yeah, and I don't want to be that, you know, people are like, oh, don't be that guy that says I know so or I called it. But I think there is truly a sense of individuals who are fortunate to have a relationship, personal relationship with Bucky McMillan. Mine dates back to when I was like 8 years old, right? We're going on like, you know, 15 plus years of friendship and mentorship and all these things. But I know that Bucky McMillan is a winner, right? Bucky did not single-handedly win the Southern Conference tournament as head coach of the Bulldogs. He did it with the help and the value that his assistant coaches and his staff members bring, that administration, Martin Newton and Beck Taylor at Samford, what they add and pour into the program, their support. And of course, it all happened on the floor. And it's those players that he gets to play so hard for, not only him, but for his program, right? The community that rallies and comes behind and supports him at a mid-major level. Where basketball, you know, hasn't always been the forefront. Samford basketball hasn't been in the spotlight in a really long time, 24 years, if we're being honest. And so knowing what Bucky is capable of as a coach and a leader in a program, it comes as no surprise. And he could have told you that he was capable of doing it. He's probably wouldn't have done that. But anybody that's been associated with or guided by or mentored by or walked alongside him in his coaching journey could tell you that this was going to be possible. And so it's not an I told you so thing. It's a wait and see what happens. And now we're finding out. So maybe the mess around find out scale comes into play here. But so happy for him. So happy to be, you know, a supporter and a fan of this program. And as somebody, you know, Britton, Bucky talked about, it's not just these guys. It's people like you, people that have come before and built the foundations of this program. So what does that mean to you? Because you didn't have a jersey on, right? But in year three for him at Samford, you helped establish the culture of this program. A lot of these guys who won last night were your teammates, and you have a great relationship with them. So what does it mean for you to personally be a part of something, not only for Coach McMillan, but for the relationships you have with those players who are your former teammates?
Yeah, I mean, it was a lot of emotions last night. First of all, like you said, and this isn't to knock any of the other guys on the team. I thought Rylan Jones has been phenomenal throughout the season, one of the key guys. But you look at the guys who were really the standouts yesterday, and it felt like it was so many of the guys that have been there and that have been through the adversity of the hard years. I mean, Jermaine Marshall, who has been through so much the last couple of years, has been really the heart and soul of this program probably the last 3 years. You know, he messed up his knee earlier this year. He was out for 6 weeks. or whatever it was, and he comes in and has 23-8 in the SoCon final. You look at Achora Achor, who came in with me last year, and I saw how hard he worked day in and day out. He came in, he could, I guess, shoot, but that wasn't what he went to, right? It was, and now it's like you can't leave him open. And he's dominant in the post, and he's dominant on defense. 25 and whatever it was, rebound wise, he was the best player in the tournament and arguably one of the best players in the SoCon his entire season. Jaden Campbell, a guy that's been there maybe all 4 years. I think it's 4 years, actually. He's
Yeah,
been there the
three, if not four, for sure.
entire tenure of Bucky. And this isn't a knock to Jay at all, but he was a guy that even when I was there, it was like he wouldn't every single time make the tough play. Every single time he wouldn't necessarily make the resilient play. But last night, he made every single play when they needed it. And I'm not just talking threes. He made some big shots on the way, but he made big defensive plays and big stops when he needed it. He was boxing out. Like, all those little things add up. And I keep going. AJ Satan-McCray, phenomenal throughout the year. Didn't necessarily have his night at different points, but just made plays when he needed to. So it's all these guys that have been a part of this build. And so that's been really special to see. The other thing is obviously just a lot of pride in what Coach Bucky has built. He is the definition of a program builder, right? Top to bottom. And it goes from if you were to talk 4 years ago about which program is in the worst shape in the SoCon, which program has the least support, whether it be from the student perspective or from
Community
even kind of
support.
the community support, even to an extent. You know, Martin Newton has always been phenomenal, but just even like administratively, like it wasn't always the most well-backed thing. And obviously Martin has such a
Student
huge hand
support. I
in
mean,
that.
students didn't go to games.
And so now 4 years later, not only is it the best team in the league, if you say, hey, which school has the best student support and community support in the entire SoCon, it's Samford. Which school has the best administrative support in the entire league? It's probably Samford. Which school has the best NIL support in the league? It's right up there for Samford. I mean, what Bucky has done there, top to bottom, it's just been phenomenal. And then you look at the guys on the team, and it's not just that they are top class players. They are obviously that. You have to be that to win a league. They're top class people. And they're people you want to, Bucky said it so well about so many of the Mountain Bird teams. It's like, if I was starting a business, these are guys I'd want to work with because they're going to be winners. They're going to get the job done. And I think that can be said of so many of those guys on the Samford team. They're just winners. They're winners in everything in life. I think of Nate Johnson, who's one of my really good friends. And, he won, I guess, the Pinnacle Award of just like best GPA on the winning team. And he is just a winner, like in every respect of life. Grayson Walters is a winner in every respect of life. And so you get guys like that to just buy into what you're doing. And not even to buy in, they were already bought in, but just like get them to push to another level. And it's special. And obviously for me personally, we have a sense of identity with Bucky. Just in whatever he does, he could go, I mean, I hope he stays the same for a long time. He'd go wherever and I will always feel like I identify with whatever he is doing.
I
Right.
would want to support whatever program he's leading. And you
Correct.
could say the same.
God forbid it's Auburn. I hope it's never that. But outside of maybe the barn. But as a whole, I feel so much identity with Samford as well. I identify so strongly with Samford and what he has built there. And it's cool to think it is in a place now. So, as much as we talk about the holdovers, I also want to talk about the guys that are coming in as freshmen. And so you look at the guys that are leaving, and it's like, man, we're losing a lot. But Josh Holloway is going to fill in spots really well. Riley Allen's spot is going to fill in spots really well. I hope Achor is going to be coming back next year, and AJ is going to be coming back next year, and whoever else. But you look at these freshmen, Lucas Walls, who didn't really get to play a lot, but is going to be a stud. And so this program is not like, oh, Bucky built a team. He built a program that top to bottom is built for long-term success. So if you're the rest of the league, it's a little scary. This like it, they better hope he takes the job, because otherwise, there's no reason to believe that Samford will not be competing to win a SoCon crown every year for the next decade. Just
There's
the
a whole
infrastructure and
list
the
of
way it's built.
hypotheticals that we could get into because the next couple of weeks are going to unfold. Samford's got its automatic bid to the tournament, a very serious contender as a more than likely 13 seed to play a four. You've got Alabama and Auburn lined up as four seeds right now, according to Joe Lenardi. And Alabama, depending on how they play, I don't think they're going to drop below a four unless they'd really just screw it up in the SEC tournament, which it's hard to do when you have a double bye. However, you look at what is possible. Samford could very likely win a game. Not saying they're lined up with Alabama, not saying they're lined up with Auburn, but just as a 13 seed and what they're capable of, if they can get the right matchup, I would have all the confidence in the world they can get a first round win. Now, to the hypotheticals, we're not going to answer those, but there's a whole, Power Fives poach mid-major players. Achora Chor's created a lot of value for himself, is going to have a lot of eyeballs. Is Bucky going to go somewhere? All those things are going to settle themselves out. But what is important right now and what people need to appreciate and recognize is that Samford won the conference tournament for the first time since joining the SoCon. But they did not, the program did not have a winning record in conference play before Bucky arrived. You count the COVID year, and it's three straight years where Samford, you don't count the COVID year, and yet it's three straight years where Samford's had a winning record in conference play, over 20 wins each season, a campus record of wins at 29 right now. All these things, it's not about the hypothetical and what's to be, because that's going to work itself out. It's about what has happened. Now, Britton, I texted you last night. I said, I got a funny story. So a little bit of I wouldn't say it's insight, but a comment I heard earlier this year, just a couple weeks ago, from Martin Newton. We've talked about him. He's on the NCAA selection committee. So, of course, as an NCAA selection committee member, anytime Samford is mentioned, same thing for Alabama and Greg Byrne, who's a committee member, they have to leave the room. They can't give any opinion about teams in their conference. So Byrne can't comment anything other than fact about teams in the SEC. But these conference committee members are hosts of first round sites, right? So Greg Byrne wasn't, I don't think he was in Birmingham, because Martin Newton was the Birmingham host for last year. So Martin possibly may not be where Samford is playing. And as we were walking out of tip-off club a few weeks ago, I said, are you worried that you can't watch the Bulldogs, presuming we make the big dance? And he looked at me and goes, William, I will fly to Alaska and watch it in a Motel 6 if that means we make the tournament. I will be so happy. I'll watch it from anywhere in the world. And that tells you, just one, a sense of humor, two, how much of a leader he is and how much he's invested and cares in this program. But Britton, this Samford team, people are going to start doing their research. People are going to start looking at, oh, Bucky McMillan, the high school coach. And the story is the localized angle. And you're going to hear that over and over and over on the CBS family of networks, TNT, TBS, all those next weekend when Samford makes the tournament. Now, what they really need to know is what is Bucky Ball? And we've talked about that. You've played for him. It's been the entirety of your career. It's relatively similar to what Alabama does. But when people hear Bucky Ball, really schematically, what is it and how do you define it?
Yeah, and before I answer that, I kind of want to almost backtrack it to what you were just saying. Samford had never had a winning record in the SoCon. Not one season where they had the winning record before Bucky took over. And now it's three straight out of four seasons. And not only that, they won two straight league titles, regular season, and obviously now one tournament. I don't think people understand how hard this was for Bucky to build. And I think people brush over it because, oh, Samford's a cool school. It is a bunch of fairly rich kids that go there and whatever, like whatever you want to perceive it to be, right? That there's money there or whatever he took over one of the worst programs in the country. And that's not a euphemism. That's not an exaggeration.
They
That
were
it was
bottom 20 in the country in net. Out of 353 teams, they were like 335.
they were one of the worst programs in the entire country, one of the worst cultures in the entire country. This is what he took over. There is good argument that what he has done at Samford is more impressive than what he did at Mountain Brook. And if you can recall, Mountain Brook's a bunch of white suburban Birmingham kids going in and beating the best teams in the state of Alabama. And
And teams from all over the country.
all over the country. And obviously the year after I graduated, they were number five in the country. So my point is it's unbelievable what he's done there. And I don't want to just brush over that. Like it's there are maybe I can maybe count on my hand the amount of coaches that could have done what he has done at Stanford. So it's just unbelievable. But then going to your question, what is Buckyball? You know what's funny about Bucky is I think he's the most Saban-like coach, and we said this a couple times. He's the most Saban-like coach I've ever been around, and that's not a knock on Oates at all. Oates just has a different way of doing things. He is as top tier as they come, but Bucky is so process oriented, right? And I have 100 stories I could tell about this. You know, just from the standpoint of we only practiced after games a few times in my high school career, and they were all after like 20 plus point wins, where we didn't take care of the ball well enough. We didn't because he doesn't care about the scoreboard. It was never about the scoreboard. It was about, are you playing to the standard? And so what it is that it's a very fun brand of basketball, but that's the veil on top of what is this Saban-like coach underneath. But what is that fun brand of basketball? It's hey, it's almost like a Nate Oates offense, right? We're gonna get up and down. It's all about the threes, layups, and free throws. And it's been that way since we were in high school and well before then. And that's the basis of the offense. And obviously, Mitch Gold does a phenomenal job with running the offense. They do a bunch of NBA actions, a bunch of big screening down and big getting the ball up top and playing off of that, a bunch of two-man game. So that's the offense. And you're going to get up and down. It's going to be very fun. But then defense is what I absolutely love. It's what sets apart Samford and Buckyball from any other team in the country is they press off makes 100% of the game, 100% of the time, and they press off misses. And it's just so unique. They're going to throw 100 different defenses at you. It's absolutely a nightmare to prepare for because what people think is, oh, they press, so that's cool. So, but there are seven different presses that we employ in the game. There are four or five different half-court defenses that we employ throughout a game, and you don't know what you're going to get hit with. So you come out of a timeout prepared to run a half-court man set, and all of a sudden they throw a 1-3-1 zone at you or a 2-3 zone. They could throw a million different things. And so what I love so much about it is at no point in time in my entire year at Samford, at no point in time in my entire years in Mountain Brook, did I ever feel like we weren't in full control of the way the game was going to be played. On both ends of the floor. We completely dictated the way the game is going to be played. But man, it's what's so fun about it is Bucky sells it so well is hey, we play a really exciting and fun brand of basketball. And it's 100% true. He's not lying even remotely when he says that. But what he's almost is hiding a little bit is we are one of the hardest working programs in the country. And the reason we're such a fun brand of basketball is because we have grinders. We have dudes that are about the right stuff, are absolute winners, who are going to win the fight to the loose ball every single time, who are going to dive after every loose ball, who are going to fight for every rebound, who are about all the small details. He's the most detail-oriented coach I've ever been around, to the point where you'd be running a half-court defensive drill and doing it over and over and over again till you get it right. So I know I just talked a lot. That's what Buckyball is, though, in a nutshell. And if you're new to it, buckle up because all I'm gonna say is I'd hate to be that four or five seed that gets the Samford draw in the first round. And I would even more hate to be the four or five seed that gets their name in the second round. Should Samford win the first round, you only get a day to prepare for all of what's coming their way. Samford's one of the best 3-point shooting teams in the league, or not even just in the league, in the country this year. And they get up and down, and man, it's a tough style to prepare for.
Absolutely. You and I obviously know that well, and I'm looking at Nate Oates and his stint at Buffalo right now on what is sportsreference.com. And you know, it's interesting when you think about that Nate was an assistant, right? And this is not saying one is greater than the other. And there were some people on Twitter who were saying, well, he doesn't, you know, he's paid for. He didn't pay his dues talking about Bucky. Well, harder. This is America, last I checked, and hard work is rewarded more often than not in the corporate world. And Bucky's hard work, five state championships at Mountain Brook, came to show that he's a great coach, and he is not the type that was going to ever take an assistant job because that's not the type role he wants to have. He wants to be a leader. He wants to be a program developer. And that doesn't compare because Nate Oates and his relationship with the Hurley family, he'd tell you he owes them everything for being and Nate and Bucky's experience coaching high school ball was different, you know, a different set of circumstances, different school, different state. But it is cool as you and I both follow both programs very closely, that there are similar storylines of how Nate got to Alabama, what he did at Buffalo, being a high school coach, similar, and Bucky is on a similar track of having a lot of success early on as a mid-major coach, had a ton of success as a high school coach, got, you know, had the right relationships with the right people. For Bucky, it's Martin Newton. For Nate, it was the Hurley family. And it's cool that that is where we are, I guess, because both of those guys are fantastic coaches, and you don't want to sit there and point fingers because Nate is now obviously at Alabama leading one of the top programs in the country. Bucky is still very early in his college coaching career, but you know, it's not to say one's better than the other. It's cool to follow both of their careers, and I tip my hat to both of them. Obviously have the personal relationship with Bucky, and just, I think that's a neat little tidbit. Hey, did you see the locker room celebration video written from Samford last
I
night?
did. I did. It was
So
very fun.
that reminded me, and not everybody that listens to this may know this or even care, but to kind of give you an insight into the championship mentality that Bucky has, when he won his fifth state championship, he called the trainers and some of his staff members, and he said, "Hey, we're going to win tonight, and they're going to give us, you know, they're going to give me a water bath, Gatorade bath, whatever, in the locker room after the game." It's what they do, right? You win a championship, it's the last game of the last day. That's the criteria. He goes, "We're going to get back at our players this year." So he gets off the bus, and the trainers wheel in these coolers, right? They've got drinks for the players, but in a separate cooler, they take it to the back of the locker room in Legacy Arena, put it in the bathroom, and like lock a stall. And Bucky got, they won Mountain Brook's fifth state championship. It was Bucky's last before he lost the following year in the state championship before he took the Samford job. And he gets the water dumped on him in the locker room, and he immediately jets off and he runs straight to this bathroom stall. And everybody's like, "Where'd he go? Where'd he go? Where'd he go?" And Tyler Davis, Dave Good, all the assistants, they come running back and they pull out water guns and start hosing the players and getting back on them, throwing water balloons at them. And seeing the celebration last night just reminded me of, you know, how fun that moment was for everybody that was involved in there on that scene. But also the championship mentality of like, hey, we're going in this game. It's not maybe we're winning. It is we are winning. Tubb Bell, who coached at Winona and passed away a couple years ago, was a dominant high school women's basketball coach, and he would wear rings from past years in the state championship. He would wear three-peat shirts when they hadn't won a three-peat on the sidelines at the very end of the game. It's that same type mentality. But obviously, it was fun to see those guys celebrate. And Samford just came back a couple hours ago, big student reception out there on the front of campus. Any more stories or comments or things as we kind of wrap this up, and we'll take a quick look at the SEC tournament?
Yeah, I mean, I think one thing that stood out to me too about the celebration last night is the emotion that was on display. You saw it from Bucky. You saw it from guys like Jermaine Marshall, who were emotional. It's not to an extent, winning always brings that out. But when you know you have been through the process of building and fighting and grinding to get where you are, it just is extra special. And you could just tell it wasn't just joy in the room. It was just an overwhelming sense of, I don't know, it just overflowed in emotion in a really, really cool way, in an authentic way, that I think very few people get to experience in life. And so, so excited for those guys. I mean, I know for me, I you know this, I'm not just an overly emotional guy. I don't know if you remember this, but my senior year of high school, it's probably one of the last times I was bawling, crying. And it was a game that we won by 20 something points easy. I mean, we were up 20 at halftime or whatever. And so the whole second half, we knew, like, okay, we're winning this game and we're just playing. This is my last half. I didn't know if I was playing college basketball at this point. Obviously, ended up being blessed enough to play 5 years of it, but ended up bawling, crying on the sideline after getting taken out for the last time. And so it's just this overwhelming feeling of, like, bittersweet emotion, more sweet than bitter for sure. But such a joy to be in that position. It's one of my, honestly, in a weird way, one of my fondest memories. I got to share that with my guys that I've just been going to war with for years and years. And so I just couldn't be happier for each and every one of those guys. I tried to reach out. It's one of those things that everyone that's a part of it has probably gotten their phones bombarded the last day or two, and it's everyone's thinking about responding. But just an unbelievable accomplishment for Samford, for those guys. And the beauty of it is the story's not done, right? And so they get to write another chapter of this story. And what an unbelievable week and a half, 2 weeks, hopefully 3 weeks it'll be for the Samford Bulldogs coming up.
We're fired up, and my dad has already committed to being wherever they are, whenever they play, and I hope I can join him there, preferably on Thursday. I've got a full weekend, that first round of March Madness, appointment viewing TV at the lake, but hoping Samford can play Thursday. Super happy for them. And as we quickly look with just a couple minutes left here, SEC Tournament 2024 back in Nashville once again. Crimson Tide have the Friday night game. 25 minutes after game nine, the Crimson Tide will take on the winner of Florida, who faces the winner of Missouri, Georgia. So presumably Alabama gets another shot at Florida, and that is the last game on Friday night. But Tennessee, Auburn, Kentucky, and Alabama are your four teams who received a two-round bye. Bias aside, setting apart Alabama, who do you like in the SEC tournament and why?
Well, let's be objective here to start, right? Alabama has the worst draw of any team in the tournament. Calling a spade, you get Florida in the first round, who's been playing good ball recently, except for losing to Vandy, which was weird. And then you win that, you get the joy of playing maybe the hottest team in the league in Kentucky, who's just been playing another level recently. And if you win that, you more than likely get to play the Tennessee Volunteers, who I think are, if not the best team in the country, one of the top two or three.
The second hottest team behind Kentucky.
Correct. And so it's a really tough draw. I'll say this. A lot of it depends on the health of our guys. I think if Ryland's back healthy, I think if Latrell's, obviously we saw he was healthy for, thankfully, he was healthy for our last game. We wouldn't have survived that Arkansas game without him. That was very fun for what it's worth as well. We haven't even got to touch on that. Latrell Wrightsell, thank you, sir. Thank you for saving my Saturday.
You can't see
And
this, but this is a salute
yes,
to
Mark
Latrell Wrights.
Sears, Sam Walters, thank you. Grant Nelson, thank you guys for making big plays. We needed them. Okay, that was the Arkansas 2 minutes. Eric Musselman still sucks at his
You
job and
literally
is
changed my
short.
life.
Came up short once again. But the point was that if you get all the guys healthy, the beauty of Nate Oates and Alabama basketball is there's no team we can't beat. It's a winnable tournament. You just got to get hot, and the hottest team's gonna win. And it's the most talented SEC pool I think we've had in years. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, when you've got South Carolina as a five seed who's been hot all year long, arguably a top 15 team at points, I know we said we're not going to be biased. Give me the Gamecocks, BJ. Give me the Gamecocks over Auburn and then losing to Tennessee. I objectively think, yes, you have a hot tournament set up. I mean, Arkansas could even make noise, go in and beat Vanderbilt and then beat South Carolina. I mean, the way if they play the way they did against Alabama. But I think the key for Alabama, this is going to sound like a little bit of a loser mentality, is stay healthy, right your wrongs in terms of figuring out your defensive identity going into the tournament, and be prepared to play grueling hard knock basketball for the first weekend, reset, do it again, win games and, win the weekend in 2-game increments, and don't put the cart before the horse, because this is it's really hard to win the conference regular season. We know that. It is equally hard to win 3 games in 3 days against the stiffest competition in the country. Again, this is looking at it if you're Alabama. I wasn't very good at being objective. I didn't do that very long on this podcast, even though I said I was going to. And just because a team's got a 14, an 11, actually not Missouri, an 11, a 12, a 13, even Ole Miss at 10, like there's going to be stiff competition. All the games are going to be good. So super excited about this year's tournament, and we only have a couple minutes left. So I will go ahead and leave any final basketball commentary to you before I get my final word, and then you close us out with your final word.
Yeah, I mean, here's the deal. The SEC tournament's so unique. I think it is likely harder to win an SEC regular season because it's 18 game sample size. You have to dominate over time. But there's nothing better than winning the SEC tournament besides going on a Final Four run or whatever follows. But I think Alabama has the ability to do it. They just got to get hot at the right time, and they got to take it one game at a time because there's not going to be a gimme. And that can be said of any team, but you'd be amazed the amount of times that, hey, we beat Florida and all of a sudden Kentucky loses their game and all of a sudden we're set up for an SEC title run. Or hey, we get really hot against Kentucky and all of a sudden we're there. So it's just taking everything one game at a time. And the good news, I think there's depth to do it, but they gotta get it going. So I'm excited to at least have a really good weekend of basketball. I'm never gonna pick against the Tide. So if you're banking on that, I will not be objective. I will bet the house on the Tide. So yeah, let's keep it rolling.
Send it for Alabama. All right, my last word has nothing to do with college basketball. It has nothing to do with sports, but I want to virtually give myself a pat on the back here. Britton, it is lawn mowing season. I got the first cut in of the spring today. I'm feeling great. Front yard looks great. Backyard looks terrible. I didn't cut the backyard. So that's my last word, is it is officially lawn mowing season. I had to do it before the tournament kicks up, and I'll be on the couch all weekend.
Yeah, so this is March, and I guess that also means lawn mowing season. But it's gonna be really cool. You're already starting to see the fulfillment of dreams, which is the beauty of March. And obviously, there's gonna be the downside as well. But as of now, we're in a great space. Samford's won. Everything's ahead of us. For all we know, Alabama's about to reel off what would be 9 straight games and win a national title and SEC title. There's nothing stopping them. And who knows, Samford might go on a little run themselves. So, a really exciting time of the year. The hope is just in the air. And let's see if Alabama can make the most of it. So, Roll Tide, go Bulldogs. What a weekend it was. And yeah, Eric Musselman's still short.